Jeremiah chapter 26. God has been speaking to Jeremiah the prophet. He started to speak to Jeremiah at the beginning when we started in chapter 1, when Jeremiah, according to most commentaries, according to most theologians, he was at the age between 13 and 16 years of age when he began to be called by the Lord into the ministry. By the time we get now to chapter 26, Jeremiah now is about 40 years of age. And he has been prophesying to the people of God in Judah now for 23 years. The same message. Can you imagine preaching the same message for 23 years? Now let me tell you why the same message was being preached. It's like one of the times Spurgeon, one of the great expositors of England, he had a church of about 6,000 people, and he wrote many, many commentaries. He actually wrote hundreds and thousands of sermons. He was one that truly believed in the grace of God. And one time, one of his students in his congregation came to him and he said, Mr. Spurgeon, why do you continue to preach the same sermon every single Sunday? We're getting tired of it. And Spurgeon said to this young guy, he says, I'll change my message when my message changes your life. That's Jeremiah. I'll change my tune when you change. God says, play the same tune. And it's frustrating when God tells you to do something and you don't really want to do it anymore, and God says, you continue to do it. You have to do it. Because God has that message. Judah now has been told for 23 years to repent because Babylon is coming, and they will not repent. They will not repent. You know what's amazing about this is that as he begins the chapter, remember when we were in seventh chapter of the book of Jeremiah, remember that's the first time that God sent him up to the temple? And the Lord told him, don't go into the temple, but wait outside as people are coming to church, stand outside, and as they're coming into church, preach to them and tell them what they're doing wrong. Why? Because at that point in time, they were saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, as long as we go to the temple, we are safe. Whatever we do, it doesn't really matter, because when we enter the temple after the weekend, we are safe. Nothing can happen to us. It was a false message. Many people today think because they go to church that now they're eternally secure. But really, this building has nothing to do with your eternal security. My security comes by putting my trust and faith in Jesus Christ and by becoming obedient to the Word of God. That's my trust. Not doing what I want. Not depending on hearing different preachers, you know, and going from church to church and hearing different sermons. Because what good is a sermon if the sermon doesn't change you? What good is it to read the Bible if the Bible doesn't change you? You become like the Pharisees and the scribes. You become a hypocrite. You become an actor. And many times, as we're listening to the Word of God, sometimes it happens where we've heard it so much that our ears become dull to hearing the Word of the Lord. You know, we just kind of, well, you know, I already know. So, you know, you just kind of play it off. There's no longer a conviction in your life as there was at the beginning. And the reason there's no conviction is because you've hardened your heart to the Word of God and to God by being disobedient. Every time you disobey God, you harden your heart to the truth of God. Remember what the book of Romans says. Turn with me for a second to Romans chapter 1. Because here we have a beautiful illustration of what happens when you harden your heart before God, even like Pharaoh. Beginning with verse 18, after he speaks of the grace of God in believing by faith. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who are holding the truth of God in unrighteousness. Who's that? Those are people that are trying to live according to truth, but they don't have truth. You see? They live a life of ungodliness, a life of unrighteousness, and yet they hold the truth of God in their hands, but they do not live according to the truth. That's who the wrath of God will come against. And then, that's not all. Watch what he says. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them. He says, you know, they're not ignorant, because God already not only has sent the prophets and the apostles, but God has even revealed it to them through what? Through nature. By going outside in a dark night, and you can look up to the sky like last night, and man, you can see the galaxies. You can just see the beautiful galaxy out there, man. All the stars and the beautiful moon. And you know when you step out into that darkness and you see all those lights shining, there is a God. That's what he says. And then watch this. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. You see, people will be without excuse on the day of judgment and say, well, Lord, I did not know. Yes, you did. You saw my moon and my stars, didn't you? They speak of me. You look at the mountains. They speak of God. I'm not saying that God is in the mountains. I'm not talking about pantheism. Where God is everywhere, everything's God. The flowers, oh, that's God. Wow, praise the Lord. You know, that's not what he says. He's not talking about that. But the creation of God, the beautiful flowers he created, the mountains, the height of the mountains, the height of the heavens, the way he aligned the planets and the universe, and how we spin around, you know, and we're going so fast, and yet we don't spin out into space. And God holds us together. You know, it's amazing. So he says they're without excuse. And then he says that in verse 21, because when they knew God, notice when they knew God, not they didn't know God, they knew God. They willfully glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became empty in their imaginations. And then their foolish heart was darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they became stupid. That's what he says. What do they do? Well, he'll tell you. They changed the glory of the incorruptible creator God into an image made like corruptible man. Made God like himself. He put hands and feet and eyes and ears and even hair in his God. And yet it was a statue. It was made out of wood and hay and stubble and gold and iron. Sad. They knew the truth and yet they didn't obey the truth. And then verse 24, therefore, God also gave them up. Wow, that's heavy. You mean God will give me up? Yes, he will. He surely will. If you do not want to receive the truth of God, then he will give you up. He'll give you opportunities. But there is a line that any one of us can cross, and that you can continue to reject the truth of God, and God finally one day will say, that's it. No more chances. He did it to Israel, and he did it to Judah. And he'll do it to you, and he'll do it to me. To anyone that will reject the truth of God. That's why it's dangerous to backslide. You see, it's easier for a non-believer to come to God than to a backslider to come back to God, because you know the truth, and your heart has been hardened. And what happens? Satan truly deceives you, and he keeps you away from God as you get deeper and deeper into your sin. It's pretty heavy stuff. And then he says, notice they made all these little images. And so God gave them up. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Who's the lie? Satan. He's the liar. And they worship and they serve the creature more than the creator. Notice these evolutionists. They don't really believe in creation or a creator. They believe in the bang theory. That all of a sudden the universe came through a big bang, or they believe that, you know, at one time this little polywad came out of the water. rub itself against the rocks and grew arms and then legs, and poof, here is man. I don't look like a monkey or a fish. Maybe you do, but I don't. They made monkeys of themselves. Look what he says. Verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did exchange the natural use for that which is against nature. What do you mean by that? The women became what? Lesbians. Oh, pretty heavy. When the women didn't want to accept what God says, that God made women for men and men for women, they became lesbians out of their own what? Out of their own knowledge. God gave them up because they didn't want to receive the truth of God. And that's what God does with homosexuals and lesbians and anyone that sins against God. He will give you up to your sin until you destroy yourself or you repent. He doesn't put up with sin because God is holy. And then he says this again. Now he talks about the homosexuals. And likewise also, the men leaving their natural use of the woman. You know, it's not in the brain. Remember that. Here's God. God doesn't say it's a problem with your brain or you're born like a homosexual, lesbian. No, they made the choice. They made the choice. I'm sorry. They made the choice. Just like you make the choice to sin. And notice, and they burn in their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is what? Shamefully. That word unseemly means shameful in the Greek. That which is shameful, they don't have shame today. There's no shame. It's sad, and stupid media covers all these things. They promote evil for good. And then he says in verse 28, and even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That is a mind that is acceptable to what? To judgment. God gave them over to judgment. Why? Because they do not want the truth of God. So God turns them over. And notice what he says. He gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are what? Not seemly. Notice, God does not approve of it. God does not approve of it. I don't care if the world approves of it. We do not approve of it. God does not approve of it. God is against it. And then he gives you a list of people. Watch this. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, insolent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Oh man, those that invent evil movies, they're going to get theirs. Disobedient to their parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God. Here it is again. They know their truth from the wrong. They're without excuse. Don't tell me you don't know. You know, God says. Notice what he says. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of death. Now watch this. Don't get short here. Watch what he says. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What do you mean? He says that he's going to judge those that are the actors, but he's also going to judge those that go see those people act in the movies. Interesting. What does he mean by that? He means that if you enjoy evil, you will be judged for the people that are doing evil. That's what he says. If you enjoy a movie that is filthy and you enjoy what people are doing in that movie, you're just as guilty as the actors. That's what Paul says. God holds you accountable and judgeable. You're going to be judged just like them. So God's not a respecter of persons. He gives you a whole list of the man without God. Go back now to Jeremiah. Verse 1. And look what he says. And in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, came the word of the Lord saying. Now, here's again a wicked king, Jehoiakim, that was not only taken by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon as God gave him over, even though he had a godly father, Josiah, and Josiah brought revival to the kingdom, yet his son was a wicked king. He was against God, and God punished him by taking them into Babylon. And so here 23 years later, God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, once again, go up to the temple and stand at the temple and talk to my people for the last time. I want you to tell them that the judgment's coming. Watch what he says. Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house, and all the words that I command you, speak to them, diminish not a word. Hey, I feel good tonight because I am not diminishing a word. I'm giving to you the truth of God. I am not begging on anybody. I am telling you what's happening today. God says, diminish not a word. If I diminish a word, Paul said two times in chapter 18 and 20 of Acts, and then Ezekiel chapter 3 and 18 and 33, he says, I wash my hands from all men's blood because I have not failed to give you the full counsel of God. And I could die tonight, and I can tell you that I can live in peace to go to be with the Lord because you have had the truth in this church. I could tell you that tonight. I wouldn't be ashamed to leave. Here is Jeremiah going to the temple. Go to my people. Stand by the house of the Lord. Imagine these people who are living wicked ways, wicked sins, and they're still coming to the house of the Lord. For what? For what? God is saying, what do you come to my house for when you really don't worship me? Watch. Verse 3. What is God looking for? God is looking for repentance. Verse 3. If so be they will hearken, if they would listen and repent every man from his evil way, that I may repent of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. God says, all I want you to do is to please repent. Turn from your sin so that I don't have to judge you. That's what God says. Even though you have to go to Babylon, if you repent, you're not going to be wiped out. You'll make it out of Babylon. You reap what you sow. God will forgive you for your sin. And you're going to have to reap the consequences of your sin because that's the law that God gives to us, spiritually speaking. And he says, even though Babylon will come, Nebuchadnezzar will come, he'll take you to Babylon, yet you won't be killed. You'll go through the 70 years of judgment, and at the end of 70 years, I, God, will release you, and I'll take you back to Palestine. That's what God proclaims. But the people would not listen. Watch what he says, verse 4. The warning comes now. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law which I have set before you, if you don't listen to the word of God and to listen to the words of my servant the prophets whom I've sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not listened, then I, God, will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Isn't that heavy? You know what God says? He says, I'm going to close the doors of the church if you don't repent. Who was Shiloh? Shiloh was the first place when they came from the desert where they set up the tabernacle. And up to this point in time, Shiloh had been destroyed by God through his judgment. He said, I'm going to do the same thing I did to Shiloh because you won't listen. Hey, you ever think of how many people, how many churches have been closed by the Lord because the people would not repent? It happens all the time. If the people will not listen, then God will do a new work. God asked for not only the people, but watch the last verse 7, what he says. And so the priest And the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. So he had all the leaders were there and the priests and everybody. And Jeremiah's preaching there. And remember at the beginning, God says, don't be afraid of their faces. I will be with you, Jeremiah. They make dirty looks at you and they threaten you. Don't worry about it. I am with you. That was a hard message he had to preach. You see, the people here, they were coming to the temple not to worship, but they were putting, listen carefully, they were putting their trust in the temple instead of putting their trust in God. There's a lot of people that do that today. They put their trust in the wrong thing. You need to put your trust in the Lord. The church won't help you. God will help you. Man cannot help you. And this is what he's bringing about here. It's really rebuking the people. Here's God. And then in verse 8, notice here the anger against Jeremiah. Now, you know, when you preach the truth, guess what happens? People get angry. I'm used to that. You know, I get letters all the time from the radio. Because people don't want to hear the truth, you know. They go, sing me a neat melody that it will tickle my ears. You know, well, you can go to a different church and hear a different message. I don't really care. You want to hear tickling? There's a lot of churches down the street here. You can go and hear a nice little sermon. And you can get entertained. Not here. You're going to hear the Word of God. And the Word of God is either going to convict you or is going to condemn you. It's your choice. Because I'm just God's errand boy. I just deliver His messages. I have nothing to do with your life. The Holy Spirit knows what you do. This is important what God says here. This is a lesson for all of us to learn tonight. And then he says again in verse 8 as the people get angry. And now it came to pass when Jeremiah had ceased speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him saying, let's kill him. Let's kill him. I believe that in these last days, there are going to be probably people that teach the Word of God and right now are going to probably be killed. As times get tougher. People don't want to hear it. Right now we've had threats on my life. But you know what? I don't fear men. I fear God. I fear God better than men. What can men do to me? Nothing. Kill me? Praise God. You helped the process. I'll be with Jesus. You know? Seriously, I'm going to be with the Lord. So I fear no. He says, well, don't you need bodyguards? I don't need bodyguards. The Lord is my bodyguard. And yet God, you know, here with Jeremiah, Jeremiah says, you know what? Fear them not, Jeremiah. I'm going to take care of them. You don't have to fear anybody who puts a threat on your life. So you just pray to God to protect you. And then he goes on and check this out what he does. Verse 9. And why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without the inhabitants, and all the people were gathered against Jeremiah and the house of the Lord. Jeremiah, who do you think you are? You think you're a prophet? He was a prophet. How can you say that God is going to close the doors to this house and is going to make it desolate like Shiloh and he's going to judge us? And Jeremiah says, hey, that's what the Lord told me to tell you guys. Watch verse 10. And when the leaders of Judah heard these sayings, and when they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord and sat down at the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house, then spoke the priests and the prophets unto the leaders, all of the people, saying, this man, Jeremiah, is worthy to die, for he has prophesied against this city, and you have heard it with your own ears. Hey, they were already condemning him. They didn't want to hear it. And check this out. I love Jeremiah's attitude. Notice his boldness. And then spoke Jeremiah unto all the leaders and all the people, saying, hey, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. and the Lord will repent of the evil that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do whatever seems good to you right now. But, watch this, but know for certainly that if you put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants. And for a truth, the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words into your ears. Hey, if you kill me, you've had it. That's what he said. Go ahead, do whatever you want. But I'm telling you right now, man, you've had it. And you know what? Through his boldness, man, they didn't touch him. They didn't touch him. He was not afraid of men. You know, there's too many people today that are afraid of men and they become pleasers of men. There are a lot of pastors that teach and preach and they compromise with their congregations because they're afraid that people will leave the church. And they won't preach against sin. How sad! Man, if I could not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ here, I wouldn't be here. You couldn't keep me here. Because I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm not going to please my board or please, you know, man. I'm going to please God. God called me. God anointed me. God ordained me. Not seminary or anybody else. It's the Lord. The Lord is the one that called Jeremiah. The Lord is the one that called me. So I fear no man. I fear God. I want God to do the work. You see, and so here Jeremiah said, hey, do whatever you have to do. Verse 16, watch this. And then sent the leaders and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets. Hey, you guys, this man is not worthy to die. They changed their minds. Hey, you know what, you guys? Let's think this over again. For he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. They're still calling him our God. He was not their God. They were not living righteous lives. And then there arose a certain of the elders of the land, and they spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah, the Moreshite, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people and all of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house of the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all of Judah put him all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented of the evil which he had pronounced against them, thus procure great evil against our souls? He's talking about Micah when he came and preached, and because the people would listen to Micah, the Lord repented of his evil and he didn't bring his judgment. He says, maybe this will happen to us if we do this. Verse 20. And there was also a man by the name who prophesied by the name of Uriah, the son of Shemei of Kiriath-Jearim, and who prophesied against the city and against the land according to all the words of Jeremiah. You know, kind of the same prophecy that Jeremiah had, this guy by the name of Uriah. And what did he do? When things got tough, he fled to Egypt. And then what happened is they went to seek him out of Egypt and they brought him back and they killed him. But he spoke the word of God. Watch what it says. And then when Jehoiakim king with all his mighty men and all the princes, all the leaders heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and he fled and went to Egypt. You notice Uriah is not like Jeremiah. Jeremiah is not afraid of them. He didn't flee anywhere. He stood his ground. Uriah didn't. He split. And then Jehoiakim the king sent men to Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Ekbor, and certain men of him into Egypt, and they fetched Uriah out of Egypt and brought him into Jehoiakim the king, who killed him with the sword and then cast his dead body into the burial place of the common people. He kind of threw him into the trash. Didn't give him a proper burial. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, who with Jeremiah, that they should not give him to the hand of the people to put him to death. So God again works in the life of Jeremiah as God protects him, even as God wants to protect your life if you put your trust in the Lord. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord Jesus, to thank you so much for your love and for your grace and for your mercies. And Lord, we pray about all of the issues that we've talked about tonight here, God. Starting with Corinthians, Lord, and Father, looking at what you have said in the book of Romans, Father, as we started this 26th chapter with the temple message, Father. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here still practicing homosexuality or lesbianism, even drinking and smoking dope, Father, and fornicating and doing the things and the works of the flesh, Father, how they need to repent, Lord. Even as you've warned them tonight, Father, they become leaven, they become sin to this church. And the Bible says that your sin will find you out sooner or later. Father, give us discernment who we fellowship with. And Father, help us to break fellowship with brothers and sisters that don't want to repent. To turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that their soul may be won at the end, Lord, as they come to repentance, God.